To talk more about this change in the census and other topics in Washington, we're joined by Massachusetts Congressman Jim McGovern. He's with us as part of our series of in-studio conversations with members of the state's congressional delegation. Congressman, thanks so much for coming in.
Happy to be here.
So you just heard from Secretary of State Galvin regarding this change in the census from the Justice Department and the Commerce Department. What do you think about it?
Well, I'm glad Massachusetts is joining with other states in filing suit, and I think we will win. I think the administration clearly is trying to undercut the census so that we don't get an accurate count. And, you know, if they succeed, that's bad news for Massachusetts. It's bad news for a lot of states in this country because the census, is used in formulas to determine federal aid to communities. I mean, whether it's health care, whether it's infrastructure aid, whether it's money for law enforcement or education. I mean, it is the census count that determines where the funds go. And so if you don't get an accurate count, you're going to lose out on important federal monies that we rely on.
Mm-hmm. We lost a seat in the last census.
Then there's that. You can always lose a congressional seat, too. Yeah, we did lose a seat, too. So this is a serious matter, and I think the administration, never misses an opportunity to try to demonize immigrants or bash immigrants, and this is just the latest in a long series of things that they've done to go after immigrants.
So you would agree with Secretary Galvin?
I do. I agree with
you. You don't think it's about getting an accurate count of the voting?
Oh, I don't think it's about. If the administration was concerned about an accurate count, you would think that they would engage the governors and secretaries of state and attorney generals in states all across the country. There's no consultation. This is a soundbite. It's red meat for their base. And again, it's a continuation of their anti-immigrant rhetoric.
For this change to go through, is there anything Congress can do? Or can the Department of Justice just issue this?
Well, I think Congress can probably do something. The question whether Congress will. Mm-hmm. We have a Congress that has been complicit in almost everything that this administration has done that I think most people think, are bad ideas. And I don't expect Speaker of the House Paul Ryan or the Majority Leader in the Senate, Mitch McConnell, to all of a sudden develop a spine and do the right thing when it comes to this issue.
Mm-hmm. So let's change topics here. We've, of course, in the news all day today, actually for the past couple of days, it's the Russian story, Russian diplomat story. The White House is expelling 60 Russian diplomats, saying they were intelligence agents, and that's in retaliation for a former Russian spy and his daughter who were poisoned by an apparent Russian nerve agent when they were in the UK. What's your view on this? Was this a strong enough move by the White House?
I don't disagree with expelling Russian diplomats, but the Russians are going to expel U.S. diplomats. And so, I mean, everything will kind of even out. I mean, I think Russia needs to pay a consequence for what they did, but not only poisoning a former Russian agent, but, they're meddling in our election and so many other things that they've been guilty of. I would have been for imposing tighter sanctions. But I think Russia needs to understand that when they do these things, when they meddle in our election, when they murder people in places that are not Russian soil, that there has to be a consequence. I'm not sure that what we did is strong enough.
You think it should? What would have made it stronger?
Well, I would have liked to have seen more sanctions at a minimum. Mm. And I would like to see the President of the United States at long last actually say something bad about Putin. I mean,
not congratulate.
Not congratulate him on a fraudulent election, be quiet in the face of one atrocity after another, not try to deny that they meddled in our election. I mean, it would be nice if the leader of the United States of America would get up and say, this is something that we can't stand for, or we will not tolerate.
Hmm. What about what's happening with China and the tariffs in China? How do you think that that's going to affect the economy right now? And is that a strong move on the part of the White
House? Yeah, so look, I mean, I will agree with the president China has taken advantage of us and a lot of our trading practices.
We're going to have to quote you there. You would agree with the
president. This is I know it's a. But having said all that, I think we need to acknowledge that and we need to address it. How do you address it, is where I disagree with the president. I'm not sure that kind of on a whim announcing to the world that we're going to impose tariffs and then when asked how much coming up with a number out of thin air about how much they would be, you know, is the way you do constructive engagement and the way you get China to change its ways in a way that doesn't result in a trade war. I mean, we don't want a trade war. We want is fair trade. And I think that there's, you know, I think I'm not quite sure where this administration is going with all of this, because I haven't heard them articulate a policy that gets us to where we want to get to, and that is where, you know, we're competing on a more level playing field.
So what steps would be good? One step.
Well, first
maybe.
Of all, I mean, if I were the president of the United States, I would be sitting down with the Chinese leader and having a very frank conversation about the imbalance in our trade practices with China, and I would be setting forward a series of steps with maybe tariffs as the, you know, as the ultimate step if in fact we weren't getting any cooperation. But I think one of the things about this White House is that, you know, one day the president's talking tough on trade. The next day he has a whole different opinion. Mm. You know, one day he says he wants to help the Dreamers, and then the next day he doesn't. You know, one day he says he's for gun control, and then the next day he's, you know, having dinner with the head of the NRA. So I have no idea what this administration believes, and I think, you know, I think most of the world shares my opinion of him.
Hmm. Let's talk about guns and the March for Our Lives just this past weekend around the country here in Boston and also in Washington, D.C., where I believe you were at the march with your daughter.
It was with my 16-year-old daughter, Molly, and I were at the march in Washington.
Why'd you go with your daughter?
Well, she wanted to go, and she asked me to go with her. I mean, I was hope I was going to go anyway, but it's nice when, when, you know, my daughter, you know, suggested and asked me to go with her. Look, I thought it was important to be there, you know, and I have such great admiration for these young people who are, you know, who organized this march and who are speaking truth to power. You know, when I was in high school, I don't know if I would have had the courage to be able to debate my senator or my member of Congress on this issue. And yet that's happening all over the country. And, you know, these young people, and my daughter included, don't want a future where they have to be afraid to go to school or go to a movie or go to a concert or go to a nightclub or even go to church. And they're frustrated by the fact that there is nothing coming out of Washington to address any of their concerns. You know, I mean, and, you know, this is not a new issue. I mean, we've been having massacres for a long time. Gun violence in this country, you know, is higher than almost any other country in the world. And yet we have done nothing other than have moments of silence in the aftermath of tragedies.
So have these students done anything? You know, we spoke with you prior to the earlier school walkout, and you had said that you hoped that these students, their passion would put pressure on Congress and lead to Congress doing this. Do you think that these marches and what we saw over the weekend are going to result in any action?
I do. I really do. I believe it. I believe that the pressure is real. I mean, I've talked to some of my colleagues, you know, who were happy to get out of town before Saturday because they didn't want to be around when these young people came to town. But I'll tell you, I talked to dozens and dozens and dozens, well, maybe hundreds of people that day, including a lot of students that came down from, you know, my congressional districts. We had a group of high school students from Sutton and from Amherst that were down there marching as well. But these students aren't going to give up. And they made their message very clear to their elected officials. You're either with us or you're against us. And if you're against us, we're against you. And we're going to unelect you. And you can't hide behind the Republican leadership, which is preventing any kind of gun control legislation from coming to the floor. I mean, that's the frustration that a lot of people have is, look, bring these bills to the floor, debate them, vote on them. If you want to vote no, vote no. But, you know, the greatest deliberative body in the world ought to be able to deliberate. And the Republican leadership ought to not be protecting its members from these difficult votes. I think you're going to see people lose their elections over this issue.
Really? Yeah. Well, that'll be. Are you concerned at all about the backlash against some of these young people? There's been some pretty strong backlash. And I wonder if that's, you know, concerning to you.
It is. I mean, I've seen some of the things that have been posted about these young people, and I've seen the NRA's response to these young people, which is, quite frankly, disgusting. But I got to tell you, You know, those students from Parkland, Florida, saw their friends gunned down right before their very eyes. They're horrified by that. And they're never going to forget it. And they're never going to forget those politicians who didn't have the guts to stand up to the NRA. So, you know, these young people, they're tough and they're determined. They don't want their friends' deaths to be in vain. I mean, they want their lives to mean something. And they're not going to give up. And their passion, I mean, is caught on all across the country. I mean, high schools, students everywhere are taking to the streets, are lobbying their members of Congress. So I am hopeful that this is going to result in something positive. It may not be everything we want at once, but I think there'll be. I think they will get something.
Do you think we'll get a ban on assault weapons?
Well,
that's
what I think we ought to. That's what we ought to strive toward. But here's the deal: can we at least get in place universal background checks, so that anyone who buys a gun has to go through a background check? I mean, that might be a good start. We can't even get that bill to the floor for a debate or a vote. I mean, you know, if you're on an FBI terrorist watch list, you can't fly on a commercial airplane. I mean, I'm glad I fly every week back and forth to Washington. But yet you can legally go out and buy an assault weapon. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, and this notion that people ought to be able to buy whatever kind of gun they want is just silly and stupid and dangerous. I mean, why do people need to purchase weapons that are designed for only one thing, and that is to kill another human being? There has to be some common sense here, and these young students are relentless, and I have great confidence that they're going to make a difference.
I wonder, something that's come up is a ban on manufacturing the type of gun that was used in Parkland, which is made at Smith & Wesson in Springfield, not in your district, but close. A lot of jobs in Massachusetts. The Washington Post did an excellent article about the division in the community. Some people say it's a big employer here, and why should they be penalized? I mean, what should we ban the manufacture of these types?
Well, the deal is, you know, we can't even get Congress to consider a bill that requires universal background checks. I mean, I think manufacturers have some responsibility here. But what did Congress do? They provided immunity to all gun manufacturers so that nobody can sue them if they behave in a careless way. We had a gun manufacturer in Worcester that, you know, didn't do background checks on their security guards and had a robbery where guns were stolen and nobody reported it, and one of those guns was used in the killing of a young person in our city. And, you know, clearly this gun manufacturer was negligent, and the NRA sensed that, and they pushed Congress to act on a bill to provide immunity to every gun manufacturer in the country. Look, the way things are going to change is when politicians of both parties have the guts to stand up to the NRA and they stop taking the NRA's blood money, because that's what it is. I go back to my conversation with my daughter during this march in Washington. She can't understand, you know, what's so difficult about doing the right thing here. She doesn't get it. I'm with her. I mean, there's no explanation other than the fact that you get members of Congress who are too afraid of the NRA to do the right thing. And I'll tell you something, I get it. You know, people are afraid of losing their election, but try losing a child. And that's unfortunately, you know, the choice that people are going to have to grapple with.
So would you support a ban on manufacturing these types of, like, an AK-15 or something?
I mean, I personally would, but that's, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things that I would propose that AR-15, that don't have a chance of going anywhere in Congress. But here's the deal. I mean, let us begin with the notion that Congress ought to debate these issues and they ought to vote on these issues. To my friends who are, you know, taking the NRA position of, you know, we're not going to do anything, I would just simply say, make your case on the House floor or on the Senate floor and vote your conscience. But, you know, for the sake of the people of this country, and given what's going on and the level of gun violence in this country, we ought to have that debate. I don't know what the hell is so wrong with having a debate on guns, given the amount of the high numbers of people who are dying each and every day as a result of gun violence.
Just because we have very limited time left, you're on the House Committee on Agriculture and a big piece of legislation that's set to expire this September, the Farm Bill. I'm just wondering, what, because of what you're talking about right now and what's happening in Congress, what's the main concern you have for that legislation to go forward?
Well, one is we haven't seen any of the text of the legislation. I mean, I'd like to see the bill before we vote on it. Mm-hmm. And two, what we're hearing is that the Republican leadership has targeted the nutrition title. That's the title that includes programs like SNAP, which used to be known as food SNAP, mm-hmm. food stamps. And, you know, I'm the ranking Democrat in the nutrition subcommittee. I believe that we ought to end hunger in this country, not make it worse. You know, I said at the beginning of this debate that I will not support a farm bill that makes hunger worse. What we're hearing that the Republicans are planning to do would throw millions and millions of people off of this benefit. And I find that unconscionable. They view SNAP as an ATM machine to pay for their tax cuts for billionaires and millionaires. I view SNAP as a lifeline for millions of families in this country. Food ought to be a right for every single person in this country. I believe it ought to be a right for every single person on this planet. But I'm sick and tired of this discussion that of farm bills that basically, you know, treat poor people in such a shabby way. We're better than this. And so, you know, I've said from the beginning, no farm bill is better than a lousy farm bill. And what we're hearing about this farm bill is that it's lousy, it's cruel, it's rotten, it ought to be defeated.
Hmm. All right. Congressman Jim McGovern, I'm sure we'll be talking with you about that when it comes up. Thanks so much for coming in studio today. Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Deborah Becker, and this is Radio Boston.